So I have to admit, today I'm a little sad. We are bringing to an end a series that we've been going through for 9 weeks here. This is the ninth. We look at nine characteristics of a Hebrew word, hesed. And that word is generally translated steadfast loving kindness or faithful loving kindness of God. And as we looked at those nine characteristics, it's been really encouraging to me. Hopefully it has been to you. But it's really opened my eyes to a couple certain things, and I just was really grateful for the study and to discuss these things. Today, we find ourselves in the book of Lamentations, and we get to talk about the inexhaustible nature of God's faithful loving kindness. Can anybody say amen? And so if you have your Bibles, please join me in turning to Lamentations chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 20 through 26. Lamentations is an interesting book. Most theologians, including myself, believe that the prophet Jeremiah wrote the book of Lamentations very shortly, or either right before or right after the Babylonian captivity, as the southern kingdom of Judah was warned for several hundred years to repent and to return to God because of their sin. God removed his protecting hand from the southern kingdom of Israel, Judah, and the empire of Babylon went in, led by King Nebuchadnezzar, and not only destroyed the city, but destroyed the temple and carried thousands of people away to a foreign country. Aside from Christ, as Christ is our Lord and Savior, he is the Messiah, aside from him, Jeremiah might have one of the most difficult ministries in Scripture. He had a ministry of 40 years, and only two people kind of listened to him. Can you imagine? Ministering for 40 years and only two people kind of listening to you, being thrown into a cistern, being beat and being ostracized. And you can hear his pain in chapter 3 of Lamentations. What's interesting about Lamentations, it's five chapters. Each chapter is a lament, and a lament is nothing than a heart's cry over your pain and distress to the great God who will save you as you turn your heart to him. But it's an expression of pain and turmoil and frustration. And chapters 1, 2, 4, and 5 come from the perspective of the nation of Israel. But 3, the prophet Jeremiah gets personal. He starts talking about himself. He uses the word I. And as he grieves this great loss of his homeland, and as he is now a wanderer, and as his people are taken away to a foreign country and the temple of the Lord is decimated and destroyed, this is a dark time, not only for the nation of Israel, but also for the prophet Jeremiah. I can't imagine ministering for 40 years and seeing something that you were prophesying about and asking these people to repent, watching that be destroyed before your very eyes. I can't imagine that. I just can't imagine that. And so as we turn our hearts to God's holy word in Lamentations chapter 3, and this is an intrinsic thing to Hebrew literature, not all Hebrew literature, but a lot of Hebrew literature, the most important truth will be right at the center of the book. So we find ourselves in the middle, in chapter 3, and in the very center of the lamentation, and here's the greatest truth that we could ever understand or hold on to, is that God's steadfast love endures forever, and his mercies are new every morning. Can anybody say amen? So would you please, if you're able, to stand at the reading of God's holy word? We're looking at verses 20 through 26 in chapter 3 of Lamentations. I'm going to begin, though, by reading in verse 19. Reading in Christ's name. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Lord, I thank you for this text, and I thank you for the prophet Jeremiah. I pray that he would inspire us as the Holy Spirit caused him to write this. I pray that the Holy Spirit, too, would work in our heart through the power of God's word to inspire us to look to you as the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, I do pray that every word that proceeds from my mouth would be from you and not from me. Jesus, I pray that you would receive all the glory, honor, and praise. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. And so this book really revolves around suffering, turmoil, distress, frustration, pain, maybe anger. Anger at what has happened to the faithful city, even though the faithful city was quite unfaithful. As the nation of Israel split into the northern and southern kingdom after the death of Solomon, both the northern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah, began this downward spiral entrenched in their own sin. They began this love affair with sin, and they ceased to worship the great God who had delivered them out of the land of Egypt in a faithful way that glorifies him. God sent prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet to both the northern and to the southern kingdom, but the people's love affair with sin was too entrenched. The northern kingdom only had one kind of good king that made some reforms, but he still didn't take down the worship of false gods. The southern kingdom had eight kings that were described as doing right in the eyes of the Lord, but only five of those eight took down the high places. So even there, over 300 years, only five kings that sought to purify the worship of God, it's not a great track record. Any reforms that were made by these good kings did not last very long, and the people began to return to their love affair of sin. Why? Because we are sinful and fallen creatures. We are reminded that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and if we're really, really honest with ourselves, our first inclination is not to the Lord. If it is, bless God and praise the Holy Spirit for working that in your life, because in our own strength, it's impossible, because apart from Christ, we can do. It's all in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I'm hoping that you see here, is that you see, even in the midst of Jeremiah's lament, even in the midst of his pain, his suffering, his distress, his frustration, his despair, he chooses to walk in the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he chooses not to discredit that he serves a God who keeps his promises. That even though the nation of Israel did feel the discipline of the Lord as the sovereign God of all creation, God was faithful to those who placed their trust in him. Guys like Daniel, Esther, three guys whose names were changed to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. People who stood their ground in a foreign country, stood their ground in a country who did not worship the God they worshiped. And God was faithful to them. And we see this in the book of Daniel, don't we? And Daniel should be a really great place for us to go to look to an example as to how to live in a sinful and fallen world. But as we look at the first couple of verses of 20 and 21, we see the pain. And it's so interesting, if you look even back at the beginning of Lamentations chapter 3, as Jeremiah makes this personal, he starts out by saying this: I am the man who has seen affliction. Under the rod of his wrath, he has driven and brought me into darkness without light. Have you ever felt like that? Surely, against me, he turns his hand again and again the whole day long. Have you ever felt like God's hand was against you? The prophet Jeremiah felt that way. But the thing we must be reminded of is that our feelings are deceptive. And we trust in the promises of God and the word of God. Amen? It is our source of truth. It is our lamp in the midst of darkness. It is the paradigm of truth and reality in our life, not our feelings. Our feelings will ebb and flow and they will change. But the word of the Lord stands forever. But what I love about in our text, as he makes this personal, as he's crying out over his distress and his pain, seeing his entire ministry just being destroyed, and as he's about to die himself, look at verse 21. But this I call to mind, therefore I have hope. How did he do that? Did he do it in his own strength? No, he didn't. Just as the Holy Spirit enabled Jeremiah to pen the book that we have before us, and also the book of Jeremiah, as he empowered Jeremiah, the Holy Spirit, to proclaim the judgments of God to a nation that was entrenched with their sin, too in love with their sin to turn back to God, he was faithful in his ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit, and in his deepest time of distress and despair, guess who was active in his heart again? God will never leave us or forsake us, will he? God is not a man that he should lie. As God's love has been poured into our heart through the salvation of Christ Jesus, which back then, as for Jeremiah, was the promise of the Messiah. And if we look at the prophet Jeremiah's writings, especially in chapter 31 of Jeremiah, we have this great promise of that day will come. In that day, there will be this time of a new covenant. A new covenant that will be brought forth by the Messiah, where all of God's people who trust in him, their sins will be not only be paid for, but they will be removed and God will remember them no more. The writer of Hebrews ties all this together. As the entire Old Testament points forward to what Christ would accomplish, the writer of Hebrews quotes Jeremiah chapter 31 and reminds us that those who call on the name of Christ, they will be saved. That those who call on the name of Christ, God's mercies are new every morning. That those who call on the name of Christ will be set free because of what the Son, the Messiah, has accomplished. But what inspires me the most is how Jeremiah leans on the power of the Holy Spirit and not by what he sees in front of him. Isn't that easy to do that? It's easy to kind of see our situation right in front of us and we kind of focus on that. Oh, woe is me. And I do this all the time. I throw these little pity parties for myself. Oh, why God, why God, why God? And then I see other people who are suffering 10 times more than me. And then I like finally come to my senses and say how selfish I am. But Jeremiah suffered in a way that I can't even relate with, quite frankly. And some of you are suffering in a way that I can't relate with either. And I'm so sorry for that. But the thing I know is what Jeremiah knew, that there is hope, that this world is not our home, and that for those who place their trust in God, they will not be put to shame. Can anybody say amen? Amen. And so the reality is here is Israel, Southern Kingdom, Judah, they brought this on themselves because of their sin. And that's sometimes the case for us. Those who are suffering from illnesses you didn't ask for, those who are suffering from rejection that you did not seek or have any part of, it's the reality that we live in a sinful and fallen world. It reminds us that everyone is born in need of a Savior, and that Savior is none other than the Messiah, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that brings us right into our next reality, that in Christ, God's mercies are new every morning. Amen. Sounds like a song we sing, and we're going to sing it. In Christ, God's mercies are new every morning. Let's look at verse 22 through 24. And maybe I should hear a few amens to things that you think are true. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. I don't think that you guys are really assured of this, are you? You know? I know it's tired, and I know some of you went to campus days, and you're barely staying awake. But the Lord is worth it, isn't he? They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Amen. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Amen. So no matter what your circumstance is, and again, I say this honestly in humility as a hypocrite. Some of you are facing some really tough things, and I'm sorry. Jeremiah faced some really tough things too, and it was the power of the Holy Spirit that brought him through. It was the promises of God that he stood on. As I was looking through this, I was reminded of a dear lady that I met at the first parish that I served. Her name was Diane. And as I met her, she had already been struggling with terminal cancer, with pancreatic cancer, and it had already taken all of her hair, and it kind of whittled her down to almost nothing. She had lost 40 to 50 pounds. Her husband was an interesting man that I was so thankful to get to know afterward. He was kind of like a lovable porcupine. You know, you couldn't get too close to him, but there was something about him that had a softness for the Spirit of God, even though a lot of people struggled in seeing that because of his prickliness. But as I went to minister to her, and this is my pride, I'm thinking, okay, yeah, I'm going to read these scriptures, and I'm going to really be an encouragement for her. And I walked away more encouraged than she did. Because I saw this dear woman who had more courage and more strength than any human I'd ever met in my life. Because she faced this terminal illness knowing that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, that his mercies were never come to an end, that his mercies are new every morning. And in her response to this illness, as she proclaimed the saving gospel of Christ with and without words, to all of the nurses and the doctors and everybody she came in front of, I just sat there with tears in my eyes thinking, oh God, I am so selfish. This woman is suffering beyond anything I could ever go through, and I'm feeling bad because somebody cut me off in front of the line in the grocery store? My word. But she quoted this verse to me, and I began to cry. And it's a privilege and an honor to walk with someone to their death. It is. It may sound morbid, but it is. And I didn't see that until I became a pastor. And as she shared her favorite verse with me, I shared mine. We held hands and we cried together. And we placed our trust in God. But the reality is this world is not our home. That there's an inheritance that is beyond all comprehension. And the verse I read to her is found in 1 Peter, and it's one of my favorite. Chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance, listen please, to an inheritance that is imperishable. It will never die. It is undefiled. It is absolutely pure. It is unfading, meaning its potency can never be removed. Kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, though it perishes, and though it's tested by fire, it may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and you rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Can anybody say amen to that? And this dear woman who is so strong in the Lord, she looked at me and she said, one day I'll go home and I will run through the fields that God has prepared for me. As she sat in her wheelchair with my hand. And I know all of us know someone like that, don't we? I love preaching at assisted living homes, and I give them a hard time every once in a while. And I told them when we get to heaven, we're going to play football. And their walkers will be no more. Because our enemy isn't always other people, is it? Sometimes our enemy is our own body because of what sin has brought into the world. But there is hope. And I pray that you would be inspired by the prophet Jeremiah. This I call to mind, therefore I have hope. That the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases and his mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. The final thing that we're going to look at is that patience is a valuable fruit of the Spirit. Patience is a valuable fruit of the Holy Spirit. Looking at verses 25 and 26. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. That's not always easy, is it? To the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And so this word quietly, I just want to just explain this a little bit. It's not the sense of just sitting on a stool or a chair or a couch and never opening your mouth. That's not what it really means. The sense of the word is this, is that you wait patiently to sing praises at the healing of your body, at the deliverance from your time of distress, from the time in which you will be in chains no longer with sin or sickness or illness. It is a time where you will shout from the top of your lungs as a saved, redeemed, and healed child of God. Can anybody say amen? But that doesn't mean that you can't praise in the midst while you're waiting. That's not what this is suggesting. But what it is suggesting is that we don't throw the pity party for ourselves. I know it's easy. And again, I'm not trying to lessen what some of you are going through, because there are some of you that are going through things I don't know what it would be like. And I'm so sorry. But Jeremiah suffered greatly. And he placed his trust in God, even though he felt the deepest sense of despair and pain. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as he hung from the cross of Calvary, into your hands I commit my spirit, Father, preaching the gospel with all the last seven phrases of his life. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Today you will be with me in paradise. So if we find ourselves kind of grumbling and complaining, like the children of Israel did as they were on their way to the promised land, and as we are too in this life are in our wilderness wanderings on our way to our promised land, our true home, the eternal kingdom of God, may we look to Jesus. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. May we remind ourselves that God's mercies are new every morning, that great is thy faithfulness, O God, and that even though you may be going through an extremely difficult time right now, that God uses you in your life to proclaim the saving gospel of Christ. Why? Because this world is not our home. And we have the honor, the joy, and the privilege to proclaim the saving gospel of Jesus Christ with and without words, not because we have to, but because we get to, as an act of worship to a holy God who is worthy of our praise, who is worthy of our patience and our solitude, our waiting patiently for the Lord, for him to answer our prayer. And I don't understand God's sovereignty in all of its glory and majesty, and quite frankly, no one can. Why does God heal some and not others? I don't know. I don't know. But I do know this, that one day, on the other side of eternity, by Christ's stripes, you will be healed. Amen? And those who were afflicted and in wheelchairs with walkers, those who were crippled and didn't have limbs, those who had ailments from birth on, we're going to run, never going to get tired. We'll walk and we'll not faint. And we will enjoy the presence of the triune God for all eternity in a place with no more cancer, no more sickness, no more disease, no more natural catastrophes, no more rejection. We will worship God in the splendor of his holiness for all eternity, where a place where death is no more. Can anybody say amen? Amen? And so this is what we fix our eyes on. This is why we have hope. And so I'd like to leave you with the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So that we do not lose heart, though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient and temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Amen. Lord, I thank you for these promises. We thank you that your mercies are new every morning. We thank you that in the steadfast love of the Lord, we are privileged to daily confess our sin to a Savior who has paid it all. That we can daily confess our sin in the freedom of Christ Jesus, experiencing your mercies that are new every morning. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen and preserve those who are suffering right now. Lord, I pray that you would do something very special and wonderful in their heart, that you would encourage them. That you would remind all of us throughout this week that you are with us and that you will never leave us or forsake us. And for those who are in Christ Jesus, may you continually remind us that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we hold on to that with all of our heart, mind, and strength. We hold on to that in the power of your Holy Spirit. And we allow people like Jeremiah to inspire us that we choose to look to you. We choose to look to you that we would have hope and that we would have assurance of faith and that you would use our lives in a miraculous, remarkable way. I pray this in Christ's precious name, and all God's people said, amen.